Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, thank you so very much for joining us and welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show to inspire and to motivate and to teach and to move you from where you are to where you want to be. It's a show that's kind of filled with a lot of good stuff, and we have wonderful guests that come on and we're celebrating life with them. And we have this segment at the 30 of the hour, 2:30, that we ask the question, how did you get here? How did I get here? But before that, we, of course, have our lady, Jeannie Jones.
Look, super producer hanging in the wings, okay? The Dr. Tanji Show. I'm excited because you're here and always uplifting the entire planet.
Thank you,
and we need that right now. There's so much going on all the time. Wow. But I'm even more excited because the guests are coming today. Can you imagine, you know, if you've ever loved and lost, okay, and, you know, you try to figure out where do I go from here, whether it's family or relationship or it's just anything important to you, how do you turn that pain into purpose? We have somebody who's going to share how that 360 was done. And like Dr. Tanji said, we have an executive coach and an Amazon best-selling author for a How Did I Get Here segment that's going to give you keys to prosper, whether it's in your career, your own business. So yeah, it's ready to be lifted. And so, and I know you've got principles that
good night,
will
Irene.
Get us started.
You know, I again want to thank you for listening and for joining us. It's very humbling, and I know you hear me say that quite often, but it is very, very humbling. The thing about principles that are based biblical and in kingdom, and people have used these, whether they were in the secular world, whether they're in a religious setting, the principles never change. And what I'm learning about kingdom principles, and again, we've been doing them, but we really, I guess we didn't know that, okay, this is a kingdom principle. So again, the show is to do that, is to kind of everybody move together. You know, no one's saying, hey, I got all of the answers. What we're basically saying is, hey, these are principles. It is a discipline. They work, but you got to work them. So today's principles, we touched on this subject once before, but I want to go a little bit more in depth on how do you become an influencer, a person of influence. And what I want you to kind of hone in on is when you are on that journey, on that road to becoming a person of influence, this is a divine imperative. And what that means is the urgency is essential that you get this. So every human being was created by God to be an influence, whether you want to believe that or not. You were created. Every human being was created to be an influence. Now, in order to be an influence, you have to dominate, okay, in the area or in your environment. And when you're dominating in the area or environment that you were supposed to dominate in, people will listen to you, they will respect you, and they will believe you, okay? That's what happens when you become an influencer. So whatever or whoever dominates an area of life will have influence on the earth. It's proven. You don't have to reinvent the wheel on that. It is so. So here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to confuse influence with fame. They're different. Fame is like a light. It goes out. influence is lasting. It, even after death, even after death, what you stood for, what you did in the earth will last. I kid you not. So I guess you can say in retrospect, even death can kill a person of influence. All right. Now, you were placed in time to influence the earth. That's why you were taken out of eternity, placed into time and space. And there's only, you're the only person, and I kid you not, you're the only person that can do what you're supposed to do in the earth, in this thing called life, while you have that time to do it. All right. So you don't have to wait, is what I'm saying. Yes, you'll get the experience. Yes, you'll get the know-how of your talent or your skill, but that place where you serve your gift will cause you to be a person of influence. It will. Popularity is another thing that I do not want you to think that, all right, popularity equates or is equal to influence. No, popularity is from the word population. And if you know anything about the population, people will turn. People will, unfortunately, if you say something they do not like, they're going to crucify you. So you can be popular at one time and then unpopular the very next. So you're striving. If you're striving for anything, please strive to become a person of influence. And the way you do that, yet again, is operate in your gifts. Operate in your gifts. Influence is like yeast. You know the story where a woman takes just a little bit of yeast and she kneads it in a dough, in her dough, and if she's making biscuits or what have you. And she's kneading and kneading and kneading, and you never ever once see the wheat, or the yeast, sorry. What you're seeing is the fact that the after effects, the yeast was kneaded in the dough and it began to swell, and of course, hence, biscuits are made, if that's, you know, what you're cooking. So for all intents and purposes, when you become a person of influence, you don't have to brag or boast about it. People will brag and boast about it for you. They will celebrate your gifts. They will celebrate your talents, because people know instinctively, if you are being a person of influence, or if you're just doing it for the hype, for lack of a better word. So that's our principle, becoming a person of influence. Very mild-mannered, very well-spoken, and they just do it. So I'm challenging you to be a person of influence. Yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. You remember that person that you said that is turning sadness into victory?
Yeah.
We've got her.
Well,
we've got
you know, her. And I think it's perfect timing. April is National Month of the Military Child. Of all the things we celebrate, yes. just did you know that? You know, and she's such an incredible representative, yes, as all of the children are of our fallen heroes, yes, and just even active military. So much respect for our safety and protecting us. So I cannot wait to introduce Dr. Tanji, Elizabeth O'Hare.
Elizabeth O'Hare.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, Ms. O'Hare. Welcome, welcome,
hello,
welcome.
How are you?
Wonderful.
So glad to talk to you.
Absolutely.
And all the amazing things that you are doing. First of all, can you let our viewers and listeners know just what this month means to you and the relationship with your father and what his spirit and legacy means?
Oh, this month really means so much to me. I lost my father when I was 3 years old, and my siblings were 4 years old and 9 months. And so our mom did a wonderful job raising us, but we still grew up without a dad. And so to have this recognition and to know that people are out there still caring for us, still rooting for us, means the world to us. And to have that support really means a lot, to know that you still remembered.
Wow.
And then, you know, Dr. Tanji, we talk about, you just talked about in principles, death and how you translate pain and into purpose. What made you decide to study, you know, just the neurosurgeon direction, biology, and want to save babies in memory of your dad with everything that you and your family have been through?
You know, I saw my dad's great service that he'd given to this country and to others, and he actually ultimately wanted to be an astronaut and a doctor, so to be able to practice medicine in space. And so his dedication to service and his love for others really inspired me to carry on that mission of his. And I just have such a love for babies. So the two just connected so well to be able to bring that mission of service with my love for children. So it initially was a hope to go to medical school and be a neonatal surgeon or an OBGYN. And now it's transformed into wanting to be either a teacher or a midwife and be able to deliver babies.
Oh, wow.
Just to give
wow.
and to serve.
You know, I Elizabeth, thank you. Congratulations, of course, on the Edward J. Flanagan Award and all of the wonderful things that you're doing. Wow, what a calling, you know. What a calling. You could have easily, you know, kind of had the woe is me. And you didn't, and I'm not saying anything, you know, against that, but for you to say, you know what, this is what I want to do, thank you. That just speaks volumes of who you are and the wonderful spirit that your dad, even now, is here. And thank you for sharing him with us. Thank you very much.
And then if there's somebody listening who is experiencing the same thing you've gone through or just a loss and feeling like there's no direction, what steps did you take, Elizabeth, to decide to do more? What, you know, what, is it a particular time? Were you at your lowest point? Were there other inspirations? And I know that the Children of the Fallen Patriots Foundation ultimately met you and assisted, but what happened up until that point to get there?
You know, there were certain times in my life where I really missed my dad, when I wished he was there to hold me, hug me, and congratulate me. But I have just been blessed with so many amazing people in my life. And so in those times when I was really struggling, I leaned on those people, like my mom, my grandparents, great mentors in my life. And I realized that, yeah, my dad isn't here, but I can still live on with his mission and I can still love. And we all have a call to love. And I can do that in my everyday work. And when I realized how important that mission to love was, that really just gave me hope. It helped me find that hope to carry on and to bring joy to others around me.
Wow. What a disciplined
absolutely.
Life.
And to be, you know, a collegiate student with a double intense major, just to, like you said, Dr. Tanji, to have that maturity is amazing, especially in the, you know, turbulent times that we're living in.
Absolutely. Mission to love. Can I ask you, I don't know if you said this, but where did you get that kind of mission from? If nothing more, but a mission to love, Elizabeth, that speaks a lot older than what you are. It does.
Thank you so much. I really learned that when I started practicing my faith at my school. We have so many wonderful opportunities at my school. Mm-hmm. And one of my role models that I really look up to is Saint Teresa of Lisieux. She was just a wonderful example of what love is. Okay. And one quote that she said that really impacts me is that God does not look so much at the greatness of our actions or even at their difficulty as at the love with which we do them. So it doesn't matter what we're doing. If we do it with great love, it can glorify him and it can really change hearts. And of course, we are called to do great actions sometimes, but no matter what we're doing, whether it's the dishes or running for president, we must do it with great love.
Wow. The intent. I love it.
Yep. Absolutely. Man, what's behind it?
Absolutely. Well, now, Dr. O'Hare, what's where do we go from here? What's next for you? You're going, this is the last year of your studies. And now what? Have you decided on which medical school or?
So right now I'm actually going to teach for the next 2 years.
Okay.
So I'm going to teach at a high school and work on my Master's of Education for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. And that's part of a program. And then after that, I may go on to midwifery, possibly medical school. But I'm leaning more towards midwifery right now because I just love the personal relationship that midwives can have with the mothers.
And that's my favorite
and just walk with them through the pregnancy.
Absolutely.
And I notice people are going, you know, back to more natural, holistic forms of delivery, not trusting so much, you know, the meds and different situations, you know, that hospitals, I mean, I'm sure there are several that, that, you know, their job is to do their best, but people are really questioning pharmaceuticals and what you digest, especially, you know, with an infant, let alone the pills we got for everything that comes on television, but the side effects of death, heart murmurs, you know, I'm like, huh? You want me to take that? And you tell me these are the side effects, possibly death. No, I'm okay. Okay. I'll pain a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. Wow. That is awesome. Absolutely wonderful.
And how has the Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, assisted you in your, educational journey?
They've assisted me in more ways than I could ever thank them for. Not only have they provided financially for me at a time when we weren't even sure if we would get to go to college or how we would pay for it, but they've also invited us to come to different events to talk to the donors, to talk to other children who may need help, and to just be witnesses and to allow other children to learn about the organization, to know that they can go to college too. So being part of the Children of Fallen Patriots is like joining a second family. It's been really wonderful to know we have that financial, emotional support no matter what.
And that's a great resource because a lot of times people don't have anything or don't know where to turn.
Right.
So that is really, really amazing. When students, there's a lot of people who are in school who are listening. If you had to advise them what to do, you know, it's such a challenging time when you leave home the first time to go on campus. What words of encouragement or advice can you give a student listening right now in terms of what to do when you get on campus, how to what to look for in great mentors? You know, do you have a couple of steps or prerequisites you recommend?
I'm sure. One thing that I really recommend is to try a lot of things, but don't over-dedicate yourself, because college is also about finding those lifelong friends. It's about enjoying yourself, finding who you are. And so that's one thing that I would definitely recommend. And in looking for the mentors, I've just been really blessed at a small school to be able to get so close with my professors. And the mentors that I've really clicked with are those that I find maybe have the same viewpoint as me or a different viewpoint, and we can discuss those kinds of things. And they're just willing to go out of their way to teach me in office hours or outside of office hours. And they just have a zeal for caring for their students.
That is so wonderful.
It is. It is.
Well, Elizabeth O'Hare, future doctor, future midwife, or whatever you decide, you already know that your future is bright, that you will be serving others with your gift and the mission. That mission, would you state that once again before we say goodbye? I love your mission statement. Say it once again, please.
We all have a mission to love.
We all have a mission to love. And you heard it there. Thank you.
Elizabeth,
thank you so,
O'Hare,
so very much for all that you're doing.
Thank you as well. It's so nice to talk to you both.
Thank you.
You
too. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Straight
now.
Girl power.
How
April,
about that?
National Month of the Military Child.
Wow.
That's all right, because a lot of times they're
forgotten. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you know, it just reminds me, and every time I do see someone in uniform and know that they've served, I literally go up and say, thank you so very much. That's very courageous. That's very bold to not know. I'm going, you know, if you're going for a deployment and you don't know if you're coming back or, you know, what that looks like. So for all of the men and women who serve in our armed forces, thank you. Thank you so, so very much.
Well, you just have an abundance of guests all over the planet that are eager to sit at the Dr. Tanji Lounge. Again, if you want to interact, you can call us live at 323-203-0815 and always interact online at Dr. Tanji Show. All of the platforms, coming up, but we have an executive coach and an Amazon best-selling author. How did I get here? So, Dr. Tanji, definitely elaborate with, you know, all the wonderful things. People can feel comfortable communicating with you online as we get prepared for your next guest.
Absolutely. What I'd like to just kind of make certain that you're aware of, there is on this particular journey that we're taking together, whatever question that comes to mind, kind of DM me. This is between us, okay? Whatever comment or whatever you want to speak, I'm there, and I really do mean that. You have no idea when I get texts throughout the night or what have you, to know that, you know, someone is thinking about me, or hey, just, you know, wanted to let you know that I'm really proud of you, and that matters. You have no idea. It takes a lot sometimes to get up and say, you know what, no matter what I'm looking like or what I'm looking at, I am not going to speak what I say. I'm going to speak what I want to see happen. So I learned this the other morning. If you do not want to see something in your life, do not speak it. That's negative. If you want to see it, speak it. Live it. Get in that which you know that you have a right to have. I like to call it, I deserve. Someone said, you know, I deserve to have you as a friend. I said, you're absolutely right. You do. Oh, my gosh. Now, this gentle person that comes in here and, you know, he walked through the door and he smiled. And I'm looking at this guy saying, wow, what a wonderful spirit. And I'm getting chill bumps here. And Mr. Marion Brooks, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Executive coach and Amazon best-selling author. I mean, changing lives.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm extremely excited to be
Absolutely.
Here.
Now, good man. How did you get here?
Actually, it was my grandmother. So early on in my life, I was given limitations by other people based on my background. So I'll just share a little bit of that.
Please
so
do.
I was born to a single mother with three children by three different fathers.
Okay.
And my father has 11 children by 10 different women.
Okay.
So the expectations for me were not very high, even within my family structure.
Sure.
And I remember I was around 6 years old, one Thanksgiving. We were living with my grandparents, my brother, my sister, and I. And they had stepped in to raise us. And I walked in the house, and I heard someone ask, whose son is that? And when my parents' names were mentioned, they said, that boy doesn't have a chance. He'll never be anything. Now, as a six-year-old kid, you know when someone's
thinking. And so
negative.
What were they basing that off of? Just the fact that you are a brown baby? I mean,
based on who my parents
were.
Okay.
But
okay.
Based on my parents' situation, they limited me.
Okay.
So I went to the back, and I was crying, and my grandmother came back. And she said, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, I don't want to get in trouble, but I heard what they said about me, and I just want to know, is it something that I do? Like your question, is it the way that I play? Is it the way that I look? Why would they say that? And my grandmother said to me, people will put their limitations on you if you accept them. The only limitations you have are the ones that you will accept, And she said, I was born in 1915 as a black woman in Texas, and I went to college. You will go to college and much further.
Oh, come on.
So those were the types of things that she did to help me and to reinforce what my potential was.
Right.
But she also gave me a great example of the value of investing in people. So that's why I invest in people, because she invested in me.
I love it. Absolutely. You're in the same
business
testimony.
That
God's in. Yeah. You're in the people business.
Yes, I'm in the people. That's what I'm on the planet to do.
I absolutely love that. This cycle now that you said you're going to stop. You remember that cycle?
Yes.
All right. In your words, why? What cycle is it? And then why do you want to say, you know what, the buck stops here? It's like a line of demarcation. It will not come over this line. What's that cycle that you just did not want to see people go in again? And why is it important to you?
Yes. So my overarching purpose is to invest in people so they can live the best lives and have mm-hmm. the best careers that they can possibly have. Mm-hmm. Now, when I look at my purpose and what I've been given access to, that's why I wrote the book. So according to the mm-hmm. Harvard Business Review, only 5% of employees are considered high potentials. Right. And they get access to information, training, and support that the other 95% of people don't receive. Wow. Now, if you're a woman or a person of color, it's less than 5%.
Huh.
So I was given access early on in my career. I was identified as one of those high potentials, and I got that access. And my career accelerated. And I have excelled at a very high level. I just didn't think it was fair that only a select few got access to the information. So I decided my crusade was to level the playing field okay. and to give everyone access to the information so those who wanted to grow had what it took. They just needed access.
I love it.
Wow. And that is so amazing to, to share. Because that's I think one of the pitfalls a lot of people feel, not being being able to get access, or somebody looking out, or somebody being inferior or intimidated, you know, about helping or sharing for fear of being left behind. But you realize that by sharing, you uplift others, and then you also excel.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's the abundance mindset versus the scarcity mindset.
That's right. Absolutely.
So I don't lose anything by helping someone else grow. We all grow when someone grows. I just like to play a part in that growth of everyone. So, yes, I don't lose anything by helping. So that's why I help so much. And it goes back to my grandmother. She helped everybody.
Yeah.
She was always helping. So I got that great example. And when she passed away, she didn't have $1 million. But my crusade is to touch at least 1 million people.
Come on.
In her legacy of investing in others through wow. the book and my coaching and online courses, everything that I do, I want to continue her legacy of giving and investing.
Oh my gosh.
And I so know that so many people who are listening, I mean, they can relate to, you know, being it's those who are fortunate enough to have a grandmother that invests in you like that. But your book, you talk about keys that are necessary to prosper. Can you talk about, you know, what some of those are, and once someone purchases your book, you know, what is going to help them, you know, their blueprint to being successful in their career? And does this also transfer? We're living in a world of entrepreneurship and ownership. Does that also, you know, transfer over to that as well?
Yes, absolutely. So the four keys are to success in business, mm-hmm. but life as well. These okay. are the keys to success based on my experience as well as the people that I coach.
Okay.
So the first one is around performance. Mm-hmm. And what I focus on there is the difference between emotional intelligence and IQ, the impact that it has on your performance.
Okay.
80% of overarching success will be based on emotional intelligence. Only 20%. This is based on a lot of research over the
wow.
years. Only 20% on IQ. So think of it this way. There are a lot of smart people out there, but there are not a lot of emotionally intelligent people out there.
Uh-huh. Makes absolute sense.
Right?
A lot of bright people, but they get emotionally twisted and mess a whole deal up.
Kill the whole deal.
Wow.
So my mm-hmm. definition of emotional intelligence is the ability to manage yourself and your environment more effectively to get better outcomes.
I
teach you the four quadrants, and I teach you how to take control of yourself as well as manage your environments. So that's number one.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
foundation to overarching success, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a singer or a business person or a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
No matter what you do, that's the key, the
yeah.
foundation.
Uh-huh.
The second one is around perceptions.
Perceptions. The performance?
Yes.
Perception.
Perceptions. So this one is really focused on making sure that you understand your brand and that you're positioning yourself effectively. Within the first 7 seconds of seeing you, people evaluate you and they say you're either valuable or not valuable, credible or not credible. You have an opportunity to shift that and to manage that. And so what I teach you in the book is how to do that, and also to understand what your brand is. Everyone has a brand,
absolutely.
But most people don't even know what it is. So someone else is dictating your brand. So I help you become intentional about the three adjectives that people are saying about you.
I love it.
The third one is around positioning. So here I teach you how to play chess versus checkers with your career. Chess players are always thinking 4 to 5 steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
checker players are reacting to what it just happened. So it's around networking effectively, where you show up as a connector and not a parasite.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
No need to be a leech. That's right. Like the way you talking.
Exactly. And then the value of and how to engage with mentors and turn them into sponsors. 90% of the decisions that are made about all of us in our careers, whether we're an entrepreneur, whether, like I said, we're an actor, a singer, or a business person, those decisions are made when we're not in the room. 90% of it. You have to have someone in the room talking for you. So think of it this way.
Okay.
Whether you get hired or you don't get hired, whether you get a promotion or not, how big your promotion is, if you get laid off, all those decisions are made when you're not in the room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to have mentors, and then you have to transition those mentors into sponsors, because the sponsors are the people that are in the room when you're not there.
Oh.
And if you don't know who they are, there's no one there for you. I show you how to get the mentors and transition them into sponsors.
I've got to get this
priceless. No, you get the book. You get the book. Marion Brooks. You want to win? Marion Brooks. He is preaching.
Wow.
He is preaching the gospel. Yes,
he is. Okay, that's position number four.
So that's number. And number four is around persistence. No matter how good we are, no matter how hard we work, we're going to run into obstacles.
Absolutely.
What separates average from exceptional careers is the ability to identify opportunities in your obstacles versus just focusing on the obstacles.
Oh, come on. It's like a play out of How to Live.
That's why I said this is for business. This is for life. These are the four things that will accelerate or derail your career or your life at some point.
Huh.
And so most people that come to me for coaching, they usually come when they're stuck or they have a challenge.
Okay.
And what I found is that it falls into one of these four categories all the time. And then I just coach them through it.
You are amazing.
Oh,
how about
you.
That? How about that? Now, I've got to ask a proverbial question.
Okay.
I ask you, how did you get here? This kind of wisdom, this kind of knowledge, this kind of understanding, honestly, we can go to school, but this doesn't come from didactics.
No.
What event led you here? What events? Nope. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, I hit rock bottom and then light went on and I had my wow moment or whatever that was for you. What was it? What was it to get you to do this?
So I wrote it because I wanted to share, but there were a number of events that happened over my career. So I've been a corporate executive in the medical field for over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And now I'm an internationally certified executive coach.
Okay.
And the book came to fruition, and actually the coaching came based on a challenge. And I know why you're asking me this question.
Absolutely.
So
thank you.
I was early on in my career, I had a desire to become a head of marketing in an organization.
Okay.
And I met with one of my mentors. At that time I was still in sales. My undergraduate degree is in marketing, but I was in sales.
Okay.
So I went to a mentor who was a Caucasian male, and I told him, you know, this is my plan and here's my developmental plan. I want to become a head of marketing and ultimately a franchise head.
Okay.
And he said to me, Marion, I can help you get into marketing, but it's going to be very difficult for you to become a head of marketing for two reasons. Number one, you're in sales. And number two, you're African-American.
Oh,
and neither are considered strategic in this organization.
Come on.
So I employed all of my emotional intelligence.
But of course.
To stay in control of myself in
absolutely
that moment.
Absolutely.
And so I started spewing off all the strategic things that I was doing. Now, he was a fantastic mentor because he told me what other people were thinking. And now I had a choice.
Okay.
I could become a victim of it, or I could identify how to move towards victory.
Absolutely.
And so he said, you're preaching to the choir, Mary. I know that you're strategic. You have to change your brand to include strategic as a part of the narrative around who you are. And so I started to think about that.
Yeah.
And I started to look at other things in my career and in my life. And I was like, wow, that's a very interesting thing. Like, I can actually shift this. So it was one of those things where a lot of people have said, well, I would have been offended. I might have gone to HR. I might have done all those things. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong.
For sure.
For me, the thing was, this is a new opportunity.
Oh, come on.
I was like, okay. And now I wasn't happy about it, but I was like, I'll show them.
But you're living the principles.
Yes.
Huh.
And I said, I'll show them. And I eventually became the first African-American man to be a head of marketing in that organization. And now I'm a vice president and country head.
Oh, come on.
But that's how you flip it.
Exactly.
That's exactly how you flip it.
Exactly. So I just look for, and what I want everyone to get from my book, when people leave, I want them to feel empowered to go and do whatever they want to do and to be able to strategically step back, because we're human. So you can take it and say, okay, this doesn't feel good. I'm mad. I'm frustrated.
Right.
But don't stay there too long. Now lift your head up and say, okay, now what are the opportunities here? And how do I navigate more effectively? And it might be in that organization and it might be outside of that organization. But if you focus on developing your skills, your experiences, and enhancing your connections, no matter where you are or what industry you are in, or if you're an entrepreneur, you will excel.
I love it.
No, you're right. And I'm just nodding yes. Because what I love about, you know, what Marion Brooks is executing, and you've got to download, grab the hard copy, do what you need to do. His book, What You Don't Know Is Hurting You. That is everything.
Yeah.
And you've got to know it, and more effectively, what you've communicated, what to do with it.
Yes.
That's that aha moment, because just when you said, just the fact that he was honest, most people would be upset. Like, who are you talking to? Immediately. I could just hear everybody in my ear now like, nobody gonna talk to me like that. I still hear it every day. But most of the time, people don't even tell you that information.
They don't.
Right.
They don't. And when you said that, it reminded me the same thing doing media, whether it was television or radio. And I remember clear as day, top executives saying that particular demographics, blacks who listen in the radio after 10 p.m. didn't work.
Exactly.
Where'd you get that from?
This crazy
it sounds ridiculous, to not know that that's the way they thought. So to flip that, well, this is the reason I've always remained number one in everything that I did. But had I not known how they thought, and then not only that, but to, like you said, become mainstream where everybody enjoys, I'm like, no, we are pop culture.
Yes.
You know, what are you talking about? But I was so glad to know that. Initially, I was hurt. I was like, why would you say that? Right. You know, but I was like, that was an aha moment to what you're going to do with it. And that emotional intelligence, does that have a FICO score? I just thought about how you explain that. But if it really depends on how you approach any situation personally in business and how you respond to it to take it to another level. So,
yeah, actually, and to build on that, just a little bit of science here. So the brain. So the amygdala, that's the primitive aspect of our brain. That's the fight or flight part of our brain. And when something happens, we react like a saber-toothed tiger is attacking us. We're in a meeting or we get, you know, someone insults us. And so we attack to protect ourselves or we fly, you know, we run.
Right.
So what I teach people is how to turn on their prefrontal cortex. That's the complex thinking and problem-solving part of the brain. So when you're in one of these situations and you've been triggered, that's another key thing. When you hit, they've hit one of your triggers, I teach my clients and I teach people in the book as well how to respond versus reacting to the situation. And the prefrontal cortex helps you respond.
Absolutely. Huh. How to respond.
Respond versus react.
Absolutely. Versus react. You're a breath of fresh air. You know that.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate the fact that you do not operate in selfishness. I appreciate the fact that you really do operate with the spirit of leadership. You really, really do.
You.
Absolutely. And the leadership spirit and the spirit of leadership are two different things.
Yes.
And you are truly operating in your calling and your purpose. Thank you so, so very much. Honestly, thank you for that, because that can be tricky at times when you're looking at your situation or your circumstances and they look bigger than what you're supposed to be doing, you know, at the opposition rather. And you said, no, there's opportunity in this. So is that something that you practice day in, day out? Whenever something arises, your objective, of course, you use your four P's here, your four principles. Is there any one principle that you kind of, maybe this one kind of works a little bit more, or are they congruent?
They're pretty congruent, but the emotional intelligence one is the one that we all have to practice because we're all human.
And like you said,
and it's okay. Like any muscle,
yeah.
The more you work on it, yep. The better you get.
Emotional.
So I always tell people, IQ, you plateau around 18, 19, your IQ is going to plateau.
Yeah.
You can continue to grow your EQ.
Oh, wow.
You can continue to grow your EQ.
Your little colloquialisms are beautiful. I love it. I absolutely do. Who motivates you? Who are some of the people that motivate you to even want to, you know, continue your quest and sharing your gospel?
We know grandma's number one.
I was going to say my grandmother's number one, my four girls, so my daughter, and I also raised my three nieces. Oh, so when people ask me what's my greatest accomplishment, and I was like, those beautiful young ladies, they're not girls anymore, beautiful young ladies that I played a part in helping raise. So they motivate me professionally. Yeah. My co-author of the book, Nathan Hell Williams, who helped me live my purpose and bring my vision and dream to fruition.
Huh.
So he has always been a really great inspiration for me. Lisa Nichols, who's a mentor of mine.
I love her.
I love Lisa Nichols.
She's
so
she's
been great. And then Dr. Angela Anderson. She's another executive coach and a peer of mine. And she's like a spirit sister for me. So my family in general. Yes. And so
but that's your squad. That's a strong squad.
That's a strong squad.
A very strong
squad. And that is really a key as well to who's around your mentorship and who you associate with. So
I have one. I know we almost up, but I have one more thing I want to share with you. So there's a lot, and I'm a nerd. I read at least 15 books a year. I love to read.
Oh my God.
There's research that shows that the five people that you spend the most time with, and I challenge people to go and check this because I did, and I was like, oh wow, the five people that you spend the most time with, your average annual income will be the average of theirs.
Oh, come on.
So
I can relate to that.
And it's not about how much money people make. It's about having being surrounded by people with a success mindset.
Yes.
Huh.
So I tell people all the time, if you are surrounded by a lot of people or a group of people that are not investing in themselves and trying to grow and not investing in other people, I'm not saying you have to get rid of all of them, but you got to replace some of them. If you want to ultimately reach your full potential.
Man.
Wow.
Man, but can you run for president 2020? No, because you're talking just real facts, real talk that makes change.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be fluff or, I mean, of course you have an amazing platform, but you work for, but I love the way you disseminate information.
That's
real talk.
Right. And it's useful. You know, this is just not information. It is stuff that we can actually apply.
And I always want people, because you have to make it simple and digestible. Because if it's too big and too, like, nobody's going to do all of that stuff. Simple and digestible.
And people got too much going on today. I mean, it's a lot of turbulence.
Oh, it's a lot going on.
Yeah, baby.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to give simple things that you can do today that will change your future forever.
Absolutely. Have you ever had a client that you said, you know what, I can't do this?
Oh, yeah, I fire clients. Absolutely. I look at it this way.
And
not being cocky, but my time is valuable. And there's so many people that I need to invest in that just don't have the access to the information that are going to apply it. If I'm investing my time with you and you're paying me and you're not applying anything, you're not doing anything different, you're not following through.
Right.
You're taking space that someone who really needs that.
Absolutely.
So, yes, I have let clients go. Or I've had clients where I'm like, I might not be the best coach for you.
Wow.
Boom.
I love it. Absolutely.
And I refer them to another coach because it's not about my ego. It's about them growing.
Wow.
I mean, just point blank. I mean, let me tell you something. Just download the book. Download the book. That's it. I'll be spreading that out all day, every day, because that you have just, I mean, specifically, you know, the keys that you have talked about is what you need to make, valuable decisions. And it will either, like you said, you will prosper or you will need to assess, you know, the changes that you need to make. I got to ask you, that was a great question, Dr. Tanya, in terms of, you know, do you turn anybody away? Once you consult with somebody, can you determine the length of the consulting that client? And look, I'm with you. Just saying.
No, absolutely. So what it actually, I don't set a time limit on anyone because what I found is that people come to me for one thing, and it, as we start to work together, different things start to come up and different avenues and opportunity. And sometimes I'm like, okay, you've accomplished that goal. Now go off and just continue to apply. And I'm always here for you to come back if you need to.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
That makes sense.
Yes. Again, I'm in the people growth. And when the greatest satisfaction that I've gotten from this book, the sales and bestseller and all that stuff has been great. But the emails and the calls and the text messages and the DMs of people who are actually applying this stuff and actually changing their careers or leaving their organization and going and doing something different or getting the promotion that has eluded them for 10 years or 5 years. And so sharing the information and people applying it and it having impact. Yeah. That's what's been most
because good. The testimonies are absolutely amazing on your site. So anybody listening or watching right now and want to interact with you, of course, again, download the Amazon. Well, you'll find out why it's a bestseller. You've just heard why it's a bestseller. Okay. What you don't know is hurting you, and how can people interact with you?
So you can actually reach out to me on my website at Marion. Don't forget the E, MarionEBrooks.com. MarionEBrooks.com. So you can reach me there, and actually I have an e-course that's coming out at the end of this month with MJ Harris. So he's another person.
Would you tell him I said hi?
I will.
We love him.
Oh, yes. So MJ Harris and I did the e-course together. He's another person that motivates me. So it'll be the two of us together.
That's going to be amazing. So perfect timing. And if you go and do the e-course, just tell him, look, heard you on a Dr. Tanji show, and I had to do it.
Absolutely. Yes. So you can sign up on my website to get all of the emails and information around different things. I'm going to be doing some workshops out here in Los Angeles coming soon. So just sign up, and we'll send you all of the details and all the information.
Absolutely.
One additional thing, on Amazon, you can get the book, Marion E. Don't forget the E. Marion E. Brooks. And the full title is What You Don't Know Is Hurting You, 4 Keys to a Phenomenal Career.
Okay. And you'll see his beautiful, fine picture profile on the book. And then I looked at him. I said, is he selling fitness? I mean, I'm ready to get my little, my little squats on. No, we in LA. It works. It works. Branding.
It's branding. It's branding.
It works. Very effective. So thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been fantastic. And thank you both for the invitation and the energy.
Oh, absolutely.
This is
amazing. Don't worry, we're going to do amazing more stuff together. I can't wait for your platforms in Los Angeles because the work that needs to be done, and then there's just so much more with other things we're running out of time to talk about, but just really been affected by Nipsey Hussle and just feeling like, somebody punched me in the chest. But his work, his legacy, I've never seen an impact like that. I mean, not from even a president in the sitting, the testimonies that are pouring in, and I've had to report on the East Coast so much since it happened on Sunday. And I was like, this is what it's about, that influence, that impact. I mean, it's massive. People are figuring out, what do we need to do now? And I'm like, that's what his life represented at just 33?
Yeah.
So,
that's
like,
amazing.
You got to take a look. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yep.
What's the legacy? And it is huge. It's the hugest one I've ever seen. And who would think over there in Crenshaw, LA, in the hood, I've never seen an impact like his. Never.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. So our condolences are definitely to Nipsey's family.
Family. Love you, Lauren London, and the kids, Baby Cross.
To his fans, all of his supporters. I know the Nation of Islam is very vocal, and we thank God for them as well. Absolutely.
So thanks again. And Dr. Tanji,
another
great show you had. Another wow factor. Absolutely.
It is. My heart is just so full. My grandmama used to say, my heart's so full right now.
Yes.
Well, I'm full with Marion Brooks' keys. Like DJ Khaled said, I got the keys. I'm ready to go.
Thank you for not believing everything you heard. Thank you for every tear that you've ever cried. Thank you for staying up in the middle of the night and saying, you know what, I quit. Thank you for firing yourself and then rehiring yourself in the next breath.
Yes.
Thank you so very much for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do, because your life is making a difference. You have truly blessed us just coming in here and smiling. You know, you never know what a person is going through. And then when you see someone that'll smile, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go through this so I can smile again.
Yes.
But in the interim, I'll just keep smiling.
Yes. Smile through it.
Absolutely. That wraps up another show. I am grateful for all that this woman does. You know, it's got to give credit where credit is due. It is one thing to have a vision and to say, you know, one day when I grow up, I'm going to ellipse. It's another thing to keep dreaming and run away from the dream. And then someone invites you into the world of a woman who can see your vision and say, you know what? Let's tweak this. Let's do this right here. Come on, let's go. So on behalf of Jeannie
Meow.
Kitty from the City Jones, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being such a visionary.
We're doing it. Doing this together. Let's do this together.
Let's
keep
do
going.
That together. Let's do this together, guys. Thank you again for another amazing day. I look forward to seeing you very, very soon in the in that space that this woman is pulling me to. But until then, thanks again for being all that you are. I love you so very much. We love you. Keep standing. You got this. Let's get moving.
Bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Tunji Show with Dr. Tunji Scott, only